Grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, His beloved Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that has called us together into one body. From infancy, we come into this life incomplete, searching for meaning and satisfaction. And so, as far as this adventure goes, we start with milk and then branch off to other edibles of our choice. And we observe our little fragile bodies develop and become strengthened for the journey of life. At some point, we choose what we want to become. And then we develop our minds to enable us rise through the ranks of time. Then after we have made all these hallmarks of achievements, we didn't realize that the puzzle we've been putting together for all these years is still not complete. But you realize also that your job is done at that point. The puzzle is not complete and the job is done. There is no more puzzles left, but the puzzle is not complete. Why? Because the other part of your puzzle is in God's hands. That part is the part that you and I have nothing to do with. It is called the life of the Spirit. That part is in the hands of Almighty God. Life can really become confusing and difficult without the regenerated life that comes only through the Spirit of God. And that's that part that gets missing out of the puzzle after we've placed the whole thing together. And we still don't feel satisfaction and joy and peace amidst all of the achievements that we have had and the hallmarks that we've made in life. It becomes even more difficult to explain the real meaning of life to a naturally hurting person. So people created in the image and likeness of God are suffering today because of their lack of understanding. They are searching for the answer to the real meaning of life and just doesn't seem to find it. Many have turned to philosophy to find the answer to life. And all philosophy does is give you human reasoning. Like I was listening to the television to one of our talk show's host, famous talk show host, and he was making mockery of this whole sense of spirituality that doesn't make sense to him. And he brings up the subject about the Trinity because he is an atheist. And he begins to talk about this whole idea of God being the Father and God being the Son and God being the Spirit. How possible can the three of them be the same at the same time using human reasoning? And so it gets us all confused and incomplete because we're trying to take what is God and put it together using our own understanding. Whereas the scripture has already informed us that the natural mind cannot perceive the things of the Spirit. And yet we try to perceive it or understand it. Some have turned to religion to find the answer. And religion says, I can't help you. I can't take you to where you want to go. I don't have those pieces of puzzles that you are looking for. And the reason is I can only make some choices to you, give you some choices as to how to get to God. And it may not be right. That's what I can do. And that's as far as I can get with it. And then other turn to politics to find answers and to rise up in ranks and get to the top and still don't find that peace that passes all understanding. Many of us have turned to our own selves and have become our own idols in life. And we are doing whatever pleases the body, whatever brings sense to the body and brings excitement to the body are the things that we are chasing and craving after. And with all of that, we still find that there is a missing piece. Yes, these things do bring happiness, but it's the kind that lasts for a short while and it vanishes away and leaves us still as empty as we were in the beginning. Today from our gospel text, I want to introduce to you a man who had climbed the political religious ladder during his days. And even though climbing to the top, he still did not find the peace that passes all understanding. And he gazed down from the height of political and religious achievements and noticed others who had more joy than he had. And he noticed that something was missing amidst the fact that he had risen up in ranks. Something was missing. And so he decided to come down and seek answers to his concerns. The man's name is Nicodemus. In our gospel reading from John 3, he is described as a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish ruling council. So this is a councilman, all right? A councilman is seeking out spiritual things. First thing we look at in this text is he came to Jesus. In John 3, verse 2, the Bible says he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." And other than this councilman had heard about and seen Jesus work miracles that were incomprehensible to the natural mind. And he was a natural man. And so he comes to Jesus because this is mind-blowing, because Jesus is doing things that were out of the ordinary. So he comes seeking help from Jesus. See, this guy was confused. He's working with the Jewish leaders who somehow think that they have the answer and the way that leads to God. And here's another man who seemed to look more legit because of what he's doing and who he's representing. And so he's confused in the midst of this whole thing. And he realizes that the Jewish council did not have the answer to life. He realized that they were so far removed from the truth. And so he comes to Jesus. Didn't go to anybody else, but this man came to Jesus. Jesus addresses the issue of Nicodemus' heart. He comes to Jesus Christ because he had issues with Jesus. And you know, the part of this whole message that I like about this fact that Nicodemus came to Jesus, I was reading or watching something on YouTube a long time ago about this Muslim guy who was very antagonistic as far as Christianity was concerned. And in his quest to get to God and to serve God and to do all these things, you know, he met up with a Christian, a loving Christian, who was just pouring love on him. And he says, "What manner of thing is this? I've never seen anything like this." And so he went to Jesus and got on his knees and prayed and said, "Look, I don't know about you, but as far as I know, you are a prophet. That's as far as it gets. But seems like this loving Christian keeps talking about you. And if you're real, you make yourself real to me." And this guy went to bed this night and he had a dream. And Jesus sure did appear in his dream. And when he woke up from that dream, his life was never the same again. You see, when we have questions and concerns about spiritual issues, we don't go finding the answer in philosophy. We don't go seeking the answer in a political way. We don't go seeking the answer in the public square, but we go to Jesus. He has the answer. Jesus is the answer, listen, for the world today. And above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. So Nicodemus finds Jesus. He comes to him, the Bible says, at night, because this was very personal. This was a personal issue, an issue that he could not find answers to going after his acquaintances. So he comes finding Jesus at an opportune time, at a quiet time, to seek answers to his concerns. And the scripture says he comes, and the first word that comes out of him is the first, "We know." We know. Folks, no matter how the world tries to turn and twist things, the world knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. The world is always going to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he stands sure for all eternity. The world knows. He says, "We know." Even though we are trying to defend our tradition, we are trying to defend the things that we hold so dearly, but we know that you are sent from God. This is amazing, folks. This is where the subject begins. It begins with the real, true fact that the world knows that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. The world knows that Jesus Christ is God. The world knows that Jesus is the living Word. The world knows. And so he comes to him at night trying to seek answers. Can you imagine these guys knowing who Jesus was, but yet chose to despise him because of this teaching, his teachings and miracles? Because Jesus is teaching and doing miraculous things that they are not able to do and they cannot comprehend, so they're standing against him. Imagine that. The next thing is, look at Jesus' reply to Nicodemus in John 3:3. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you," he says, "no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, Jesus, it's amazing. The man comes and says, "We know that you're sent from God because no one can do the miracles that you are doing." And Jesus comes straight back at this guy, and just hit the point. He's not coming. He's not going into all this stuff that Nicodemus is trying to go around and beat around the bush. But he says, no, because Jesus knows the heart of every person. Jesus knows, and he had already confessed, that we know that you are sent from God. So since you know, let's get and talk about the real thing. You know, sometimes when I look at how Jesus approaches issues in the Bible, I wish we were bold like that. We Christians were bold like that. To hit the real point when we're talking to people. He tells this guy that you must be born again. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is looking at Nicodemus' heart, and he knows exactly what he needs. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, it reads, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Look at that. Look at that. You see, Nicodemus is looking for something that is everlasting. He had found lasting solutions to his life situations, but he's looking for an everlasting, answer to his life. And the only person he sees that could possibly do this is Jesus Christ. So he comes to him and he brings his heart to the Lord. Jesus, in this text, announces Nicodemus' death. "You are in darkness because you are dead," he says to him. "You have to be born again. Your spirit is dead. And unless your spirit is brought back to life, that we cannot continue this conversation. You need a new life. No man can understand God. No man can comprehend God if his spirit inside of him is dead. You cannot communicate with God. You cannot understand God. You cannot relate to God. You cannot do God if your spirit inside of you is dead. And so Jesus is saying, before we can go further in this conversation, let's talk about your deadness. Let's bring some life to you. And so he's talking about bringing his spirit back to life. He says, you must be born again. Look, the phrase must. You must. He didn't say, you may be born again. You could be born again. You should be born again. No, but you must be born again. You see, salvation is a must, folks. Eternal life is a must. Being born again is a must for every person. Born of a woman, it's a must. And Jesus declares it in this text. So he announces his death. Jesus says, look, it is okay to know that I came from God, but that only saves you enough to get you into hell. That's as far as it gets. Knowing that I came from God doesn't save you. It saves you enough to go into hell. In James 2, verse 19, look what the text says. James writes, he says, you believe that there is one God. Good, he says, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You see that? So the demons believe that and trembles because Jesus Christ is from God. And he believe that Jesus is God. And they tremble about that, but it doesn't save them. So we got a lot of folks walking around town with a label on their head, Christian. All right? We have our badges, you know, our identity, Christian, religion, Christian. All right? Oh, I believe in Jesus, yes. But it doesn't stop that far. See, salvation is a life. It's a life that flows out of us. It's a stream. It's a river, the Bible calls it, that flows out. And if one has that life inside of them, then yes, you are born again. But if not, Jesus is crying out this morning and saying, you must be born again. Because that's where this life begins, folks. The joy that I cannot explain this morning comes from living a life that only comes from having this regenerated life in the Spirit. So in verse 4, Nicodemus is all confused about this. He's asking questions, entering into my mother's womb for the second time. What is that? How can a grown man like me go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Doesn't make sense, see? Now this is where the natural mind comes in. Doesn't make sense. Jesus, you're not making sense, he's saying here. But Jesus speaks about eternal values. In John 3:6, he says, flesh gives birth to flesh. I'm not talking about your mother's birth or rebirth. He says, but spirit give birth to spirit. This is spiritual, he says. He says that the Spirit of God is going to regenerate your spirit inside of you. This is a spiritual thing. It is why the Spirit of God is here with us today, folks, on the earth. He is the oldest missionary that has ever been assigned on assignment. And his job is to bring people back to life, to reborn folks, to rebirth the spirit that is inside of us. And that's what he's doing. He just did a couple just now as we're talking. People are being saved through the empowering work of the Holy Spirit this morning. Why is Jesus speaking about the Spirit here? Because God created us in his image and in his likeness. And in that likeness, God breathed his life into man, and man became a living soul. And God placed inside of us a spirit. The spirit that enables us to relate to God and connect to God and talk to God and fellowship with God. He placed inside of us. When we fell from grace, the spirit died. When God told Adam and Eve in the garden, if you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. The spirit of man died in the Garden of Eden. There was no connection or fellowship with God when that happened. And Jesus came back and went on that tree and said, it is finished. And so he brought back life. The regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. The self-same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is that spirit that is working life and love and grace in our time today and in us and through us. He's here this morning in our worship service. We were created with eternal values for folks. And God came to save that. This part of us experienced death in the Garden of Eden. God came to save that. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Here, he talks about the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. merging together, and that the Holy Spirit bringing life back to us. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is the only creator of new life. There is no other way. For those of us who are looking for life's real meaning, the real meaning of life, the Holy Spirit has the answer, and it begins by being recreated by Him into the body of Christ. That's where it begins. He has the answer. That incomplete part of us is because the Spirit is not activated with God's Spirit. It is a difficult concept to understand using the natural mind, but this concept can only be accepted by faith. It's only by faith. And you can have, or you may have received faith long time ago, or just received faith by receiving the Word of God this morning. However it is, that allows the Spirit of God to come in, and work His work in and through us. Allow God's Spirit to take control, as He did in the Valley of Dry Bones. When God asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live again?" Ezekiel looked at it and said, "God, I don't know why you asked me this question, but it doesn't make sense to me, because these bones are dry, dead, separated, and withered." From my view, from my understanding, this is a scene of impossibility. But he says, "But you know." All right, you know. Let's use faith here. You know. I can't use my mind to really tell you if these bones can live again. And he says, "Prophesy to the bones." And as Ezekiel began to speak those words of God, the Bible says the Spirit of God again came and took over and connected those bones back together, put sinews on them, put flesh on them, and they stood up and became a mighty army. That's exactly an imagery of the spirit of man, a spirit dead, dried, and withered. And looking at it from a human perspective, there was no life. But then Jesus came in town, and then he came and brought life. The regenerating work of the Holy Spirit is empowering us to become all that God wants us to be. And I pray that as you receive these words this morning from God, that it'll encourage you, knowing that you are born again, and that it will raise you up into this new person that God had destined you to become, discovering the full meaning and purpose of your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.